This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Osteothera plus Ipraflavone from Claire Labs. As we age, forestalling and even reversing bone loss becomes more and more important. Osteothera plus Ipraflavone is a comprehensive formulation that supports optimal bone density. Osteothera plus Ipraflavone is vital for supporting the body in the formation and regeneration of bone to ensure your optimal skeletal health. For more information and to purchase Osteothera plus Ipraflavone, just go to my online dispensary at drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. And today we're going to talk about something quite fascinating. It's the new science and technology that's based on analysis of the microbiome. You know, we talk a lot about the microbiome here on Intelligent Medicine, and it seems to be connected to everything. And there's some people doing some fascinating research, some pioneering work on analyzing the microbiome to yield practical advice to consumers about what they should eat, what their lifestyle should be like, and also incorporating other data about their health and putting it all together in an actionable way. And leading the charge in this is an entrepreneur and a developer who is Naveen Jain. He's with us today. He's, I believe, your CEO and founder of a company called Viome, V-I-O-M-E. Do I have it correct, Naveen?
That is correct, Ron. And it's such an honor to be on your show.
It is my great pleasure to talk to you. And certainly, your company represents a real great leap forward in at least an attempt. And I know it's in an early phase, an attempt to take this data and to make it actionable for the public. So expand on your vision. Tell us a little bit about what this is entails.
Well, Ron, as you know, that we as humans have more foreign cells in our body than the human cells. And what's more interesting is if we look at from the gene expression perspective, because, you know, a gene expression is really makes us who we are. Our human DNA produces about 20,000 genes. And if you look at the microbes which are in our gut, which are trillions of them. I don't mean billions. The trillions of the microbes which are in our gut produce somewhere between 2 million to 20 million genes. That means at best, when it comes to the genes, we are less than 1% human. And that is a fundamental shift of how we should be treating our body. You know, we have been waging this war against the microbes. So we take antibiotics and suddenly we are, in fact, like throwing a nuclear bomb inside our body, killing everything in sight, every single living entity. And those are the kind of things that is being the root cause of spread of chronic diseases. And as we know, as we go along this, I think we're going to start to talk about that. Almost all of the chronic diseases, and we can name them different names, but the fundamentally all the symptoms are based on the chronic inflammation. A chronic inflammation is caused by the imbalance of the microbiome. And the company that I started is based out of the biodefense work that was done at Los Alamos National Lab, where they were trying to solve a very similar problem that if a bad actor were to get hold of something, how would we know what's making us sick? So they developed an amazing technology that's able to look inside the human body, not only know what organisms are there, how active they are, but most importantly, what is it they are doing? What are they producing? And if you think about it, our gut microbiomes produce a lot of the nutrients that our body needs, whether we call them short-chain fatty acids like butyrate or propionate, or we're looking at the inflammatory compounds like LPS, the lipopolysaccharides, and these are the things that essentially gets absorbed in our body and our immune system responds to them. And many of these molecules produced by our gut called metabolites, they are in fact changing the gene expression of our human genes. And as you will see, that even just this week alone, there was a research paper published in the Nature that talks about how microbiome controls our behavior and our mood. And, you know, obviously there is plenty of research on every chronic disease, whether you call that Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, depression, anxiety, obesity or diabetes, autoimmune diseases, or even cancer. There are plenty of research papers published that whether it's a breast cancer or it's a pancreatic cancer or other types of cancer is influenced by our microbiome, and whether the cure for cancer works or does not work depends on our microbiome. So there was two separate research papers published whether chemotherapy works or it actually kills you depends on your microbiome, and similarly the immunotherapy, whether it works or does not work, depends on the microbiome. Right. So it's fascinating that how important a role our microbiome plays in our health.
Well, so you're analyzing the microbiome based on stool specimens, and you also ask a bunch of questions about people's lifestyles, their habits, their state of health. And then you take that information and you crunch it through supercomputers to come up with conclusions.
Yeah, so there are quite a few things. So, I mean, obviously, we are looking at not just the microbiome, we are looking at the microbial activities and how those activities are influencing, as we call ourselves, the host. In addition to that, Ron, we are also adding things like urine metabolites. We are adding blood transcriptomics. And for the first time, we'll be able to measure the activities of your mitochondrial genes and also of your blood. So that means we'll be able to see all of the inflammation markers. We'll be able to see every single gene that's being expressed. We'll also be able to see the mitochondrial genes being expressed. And, you know, to some extent, looking at holistically in our body, all of the gene expressions, all of the biochemical activities, all of the microbial activities, and then crunching it through the machine learning and AI to see exactly what is going on and what's causing what problems and what food and nutrients your body is overproducing and what nutrients and toxins your body is currently producing, so that we can supplement them either through food or through supplements or probiotics or prebiotics.
So where is Viome at with regard to that? Because in the test that I took, it was based on a stool test. There was no blood test component, and there was no urine component. Is that stuff that's going to onboard later and then eventually provide additional insights about what you should be eating, what supplements you should be taking, what probiotics, and so on?
Yeah, so actually, so interesting thing is we started out with doing the metabolic intelligence test and the gut intelligence test, right? And after tens of thousands of our customers, we learned that we can actually build a machine learning model that does not require for us to do the metabolic intelligence test, which required basically a glucose tolerance test with four finger pricks.
It was a finger stick.
So we eliminated that test now, right? So that was we spent millions of dollars trying to essentially build a machine learning model that simply based on your microbial activities, we can now predict what different foods, how you're going to react to different foods and what the glycemic response of different foods is going to be. Now, in addition to that, we'll be adding two more things, which is, as I mentioned, the urine metabolites and the blood transcriptomics, and that is going to be coming along in the next 60 days to 90 days, and that will allow us to get even more deeper insight into it. But by just looking at the microbial activities, we are able to predict whether the spinach is good for you or not. And in fact, what we find really is, Ron, the 30% of the people that we have tested, spinach does harm to them because spinach has a lot of oxalate. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have the right organism like Oxalobacter, then you're likely to be essentially not be able to metabolize oxalate, and you end up harming your body, and many of those people end up getting kidney stones. Yeah. We are able to now predict whether the things that are considered generally healthy, like pomegranate juice or walnuts or other polyphenols, whether they actually are good for you or they are completely a waste of money. In fact, 50% of the people thinking they are spending all this money in buying all these pomegranate juice or walnuts or other types of polyphenols, it does absolutely no good. And here's why. All these foods like pomegranate juice has something called ellagic acid. Mm-hmm. And if ellagic acid is not being converted into urolithin A, which is really the antioxidant, then you're literally not getting any benefit of getting antioxidative things, right? And that's, you know, one of the interesting things is, since it's such a new science, no one ever had access to this type of technology where we are able to look at all the enzymes and all of the metabolic activities of microbes. We are able to see things like microbes actually producing the hormones in our gut, such as testosterone and estrogen. We are able to see the people who are eating too much protein. So people go on these diets where they eat a lot of protein. And what happens is, when this protein ends up being in the gut, because most proteins are supposed to be digested in the upper intestine, when it goes to the large intestine where the microbes get it, starts metabolizing it, they're feeding something called protein fermenters. And these protein fermenters release things like ammonia and sulfide that mm-hmm. causes a massive amount of inflammation. We also see the people who go on this, long fasting diets. We see the microbes actually are eating their gut lining. So we can see the mucin metabolization that's going on the microbes. And it's fascinating to see the things that we never thought our microbes would do are actually doing it for us. We see people who are extreme athletes, their microbes are actually producing energy for them in addition to their mitochondria. So the organism called M-smithii is extremely active in extreme athletes. I mean, we're starting to see that many of the people, they have these specific microbial activities who are vegetarians. And this is mind-boggling, that these organisms are taking carbohydrates and converting them into branched-chain amino acids, which is a precursor to protein. So imagine that. Wow. The vegetarians
it's
are
like
able
a,
to...
So it's like almost like a form of alchemy, where they transform one macronutrient into another, even when you're on a low-protein diet. That's fascinating.
That's fascinating, isn't it? So my point is, we are starting to understand how our human biology works. And to me, this is the most satisfying thing, Ron, is that there's not a day goes by where we don't get at least a dozen of our customers telling us how we have changed their life. People who have had acne is disappeared, or eczema, or people who are depressed, or they have anxiety, people who lost massive amount of weight. Two of our customers went on Dr. Oz show, and one of the women lost 71 pounds. And here's the best part. Wyome doesn't focus on losing weight. It doesn't focus on depression. We don't cure any of the diseases. But these symptoms that people have are simply the symptoms of inflammation. And when we get their gut in balance and eliminate inflammation, that's exactly what happens. The symptoms that people see, from autoimmune diseases, from skin diseases, from mental diseases, or even weight and glucose, is suddenly disappearing. So to us, it's such an amazing time in our lives where we're starting to see that we don't need the therapeutic drugs. We don't need the pharmaceutical companies to keep us sick. We can allow the food to be our medicine. Going back 2,400 years ago, when Hippocrates said that, you know, all diseases begin in the gut. One man's food is another man's poison, and let food be thy medicine, let thy medicine be the food. So we're going back to thousands of years ago.
Indeed. Okay, folks, at this point, let's pause and let one of our sponsors share this important message with you. Here goes. As we age, forestalling and even reversing bone loss becomes more and more important. This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman with a comprehensive formulation that supports optimal bone density to ensure your future bone health. It's Osteothera plus Ipraflavone from Claire Labs. Osteothera plus Ipraflavone helps inhibit bone resorption and promotes new bone formation. The Osteothera plus Ipraflavone formulation is vital for supporting the body in the formation and regeneration of bone to ensure your optimal skeletal health. I believe in Osteothera plus Ipraflavone so much that I've included it in the Intelligent Medicine Bone Health Protocol, and I recommend it to my patients. For more information, and to purchase Osteothera plus Ipraflavone, just go to my online dispensary at drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com. drhoffmanstore.com. Thanks for listening and thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make Intelligent Medicine a free resource to you. And now back to our guest, Naveen Jain of Viome. Well, so when these results are, and I have performed the test, when the results are transmitted to patients, how much of the results are generic, you know, because, for example, it told me not to eat sugar. Well, that's a big duh. It told me not to eat certain refined foods. And how much is highly individualized? Because I was kind of surprised by certain things. There were certain things that, you know, I'm already doing. I'm avoiding wheat. It told me to avoid wheat, but also told me to minimize corn, onions, mustard, greens, and potatoes, foods that I like and that I actually thought were healthy for me.
Yeah. So interesting thing is almost every single thing you see is completely individualized and personalized for you, except the foods to avoid. The foods to avoid really are, I would say, general tips for healthy eating.
Okay.
So if you look at the foods to avoid, they're all things that everyone should be avoiding.
Mm-hmm.
Foods to minimize is really personalized just for you. So for me, the foods to minimize are the ones that I would have considered very healthy, such as spinach, avocado, oats, right? Everything mm-hmm. that I thought was healthy for me.
Yep.
And the foods to enjoy for me are actually things like wheat, which I was completely
wow.
avoiding.
That's really strange because I would almost think that, I mean, like if you look at most holistic websites, you know, they say, you know, like wheat belly, and they say everyone's got a problem with wheat. And yet this test was individualized to suggest that you were okay with wheat,
and
possibly genetically, possibly because of your upbringing or the microbiome
exactly.
that you acquired.
Actually, interestingly, you know, I grew up in northern India. The staple food in northern India is wheat.
Chapati, you know, and that kind of thing.
Exactly.
Roti,
so
all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
If wheat was bad for us, I wouldn't be born.
Yes. Well, there wouldn't be a population explosion in India. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. So however, on my test, it said absolutely I should avoid wheat. I was disappointed to see this really got me. Dark chocolate was on my list of foods to minimize. Do you have any insights into why that might be a problem? Do I have issues with breaking down or digesting white chocolate, anything along those lines?
And you know, Ron, I mean, I could, you know, the fact is that is exactly the kind of questions that Dr. Helen Massey would be the best person to answer.
Okay.
I am not a doctor, and this is really a lot of the stuff is basically done by artificial intelligence, which is being trained by, you know, tens of thousands of people that we have seen and what impact it has on different microbial activities. So we actually look at every
yep.
single microbial activity and we match it with the seeing the what chemicals are actually in each food. And then we essentially analyze through massive amount of computing
yep.
that when that chemical is being introduced in the microbiome, what would that do? And that's how we actually determine whether this food is good for you or bad for you.
Let's explain to our listeners, because I think you have a technical background, what the potential for AI is in medicine. And let me take it from the example of cancer chemotherapy and immunotherapy. You know, there's all kinds of cancer drugs out there. And in the past, what we said is, okay, you have bladder cancer, and this is how we treat bladder cancer. We treat bladder cancer with these two chemo agents, and, you know, that's that. But in the future, it may be possible to take genetic information from the cancer, look at the cancer 6 ways to Sunday. But that information is so complicated that the average clinician sitting in an office, an oncologist, their head would spin. It's just too much information. There's so many options out there. So what they're doing now, I've learned, is they're taking AI, the potential for artificial intelligence, compile all the studies that are out there and match the study results to various types of cancers. And what's interesting is that a person who has a biopsy that was done, like, let's say in 2015, there may have been certain information that was given in 2015, but they could have that same information reanalyzed in 2018 and come up with a whole lot of different options because there's so many new studies that have occurred since then. Am I sort of nailing it with that?
It kind of. I mean, so the, you know, the interesting thing is this idea of location for a cancer is so obsolete. The lung cancer is really not a lung cancer. It is a type of a cancer that happens to be in the lung, mm-hmm. right? So breast cancer, there are 18 different types of lung cancers. And the reason we have had such a difficult time is we tend to be more location-centric rather than the cancer-centric. Mm-hmm. And you start to see very, you know, many of these personalized therapies, the cancer therapies, what they do is they actually look at the cancer, they find what is going on, find the right antibodies for that particular cancer, and then they modify the immune system, the CAR T cells or the NK cells, which are natural killer cells, or the T cells of our immune system. They modify those cells to attack that specific cancer.
Like a designer immunotherapy.
Mm-hmm. Designer immunotherapy. And I think interesting thing is, these things are not science fiction. They're starting to happen now. I was just at Vatican. I probably saw at least 10 different technologies that are attacking the cancer in different ways. In many of these cancers, some of the pathways get mutated. So, you know, it's like a Wnt pathway. And there are companies that are working on the Wnt pathways. There are companies working on a designer NK cells. There are companies working on modified CAR T cells, right? So there are lots and lots of interesting stuff that's happening. And that gives me hope that one day, we will be known as the generation that actually made illness an option. We will be the generation that will be known for eliminating the chronic diseases from the face of this earth. We'll be the generation that will be known for the ones that actually allowed people to live as long as they want and live healthy. We'll be able to use stem cells, whether they come from placenta or cord blood or our own stem cells, or take our own natural cells like skin cells or blood cells, convert them into iPSC, which is induced pluripotent stem cells, and able to go back and rejuvenate every organ. We'll be able to 3D print our own organs using our own stem cells. And I think there's no doubt in my mind that we will be able to live healthy for a long, long time.
Indeed. But, you know, all these high-tech developments are predicated on a healthy diet and lifestyle, and that's what Viome focuses on, not on high-tech, expensive drugs. And, I think that's the beauty of this approach. Great. We, you know, sort of laid down some of the basic information about Viome in this part one of today's podcast. In part two, I'd like to focus on some other aspects of it, some other things that Viome measures. And issues related to, you know, important confidentiality of data, because when you share data, people are concerned these days. We'll focus on that in just a moment. Our guest, Naveen Jain, who is founder and CEO of Viome, V-I-O-M-E, and we'll be right back with more of Intelligent Medicine.